up, guys? It's Hannah with the, on the girl. Okay. What's up, guys? It's Hannah with the Girls Club podcast. It's a new day, and I got a new guest, and her name's Courtney Siaco. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
As we were talking about before, it's always awkward trying to be professional with a friend.
I feel that.
Yeah. We met not recently, but recent-ish.
Mm-hmm. It's probably been like a year.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's okay, like, let's not count the pandemic.
Yeah. It was recent before that.
Yeah. It was recent before that. And then we bonded over talking shit about people.
Oh, yeah. Always. My favorite
that's
activity.
That's how you bond with new people.
Yes.
But yeah, we met doing stand up. Mm-hmm. Did we meet at a mic or?
I feel like we might have met at Burt's.
Yeah,
or like one of the something Melrose like mics, something like
that. Melrose mic.
All in the used to be.
Yeah, that's kind of how when we that's when we met. And now it's all new people doing stand up. People I don't even know.
I know. I like look at the like slotted list and I'm like, who are these people? Which is great. I haven't done stand up in like months, and if I can be in front of strangers who I don't care what they think. It's like ideal.
It's perfect. Yeah, because it's when you're doing stand up in front of the same comics, like they know what you're gonna say and no one cares about, you know, like everyone's like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, and they like know, like if you're like reworking a joke, they like know what it used to be and like don't laugh because they already know where it's going.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it is nice starting to do stand up in front of new people, and they're people that are telling me, they're like, yo, I've been doing it for like years, and I'm like, where? Where have you been? I have not seen you around.
Yeah, I've also heard like a few people who are like, oh yeah, I just moved here. I'm like, really? Right. Why?
Yeah,
like
we're in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah, they're like, I moved here 5 months ago. I'm like, oh, in January
when we're on lockdown.
Yeah,
when we were one of the only cities on lockdown.
Yeah, like for what purpose?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. And it's also interesting because Hollywood was already kind of getting spread out across different states. And
yeah.
So I don't know. It is very interesting when people now decided to move here.
For sure. I feel like if you combine my friends from high school who moved to Texas and like the people I knew here that moved to Austin, it's like everyone I know is in Texas now.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you thinking about moving?
I mean, a little bit. Like, part of me is like, I don't know. It would be fun to move, and like,
yeah,
it sounds cool, and I know people there. But then, like, I never actually made any moves to actually do anything. I should probably go visit first.
My thing is, it took me so long to get any sort of connections in LA that I'm like, I can't just leave now that I just am getting in the groove of things here.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, I've definitely been considering like, should I move back to Denver? Because Denver has comedy. And but I think it that mindset for myself was kind of like a cop out of, you know what I mean? I was like, it just would be easier. And I'm like, no, stay here. You can travel.
Yeah.
There is still more opportunities here and you can visit. And so I've been trying to fight with myself on what, you know, not doing just what is the easiest thing to do.
For sure. And yeah, like I was in Kansas City for like so many months this year, and
that sounds horrible.
Okay, here's the thing about Kansas City. It's kind of cool now. It was not cool when I was growing up there.
It's hipstery now.
It's really hipstery, like, yeah. Certain, not the part I'm from at all, but I don't know, it's like fun. And
is there like a stand-up scene there?
No. No. I feel like there's a lot of, like, there's a club that, like, a lot of comics from LA go to.
Right.
And, like, people tour there, but there's not, like,
a scene kind of happening.
Not unless they're real quiet. Like, I do not, like, I have no, like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think there's some improv, which surprises me, but.
That is surprising. I am going to Charleston. For some reason, my parents wanted to go to Charleston. I'm going to Charleston with them in May. And I was trying to see if there was stand-up going on there. Mm-hmm. And there's like a small club, and that's it.
Yeah, that's Kansas City.
And I was kind of surprised
like
by that.
Three small clubs.
Yeah, so I was trying. I don't know. I found one Facebook group for Charleston comedy, but it doesn't seem like they have a lot of scene.
Yeah, I feel like it's like certain cities. I mean, yeah. Chicago has it for sure, and like Denver and, you know, big cities, but.
Yeah. I thought Charleston, because isn't that a college town?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure if you went there and like you'd find like the three people that are like actively pursuing stand-up comedy in Charleston.
And I looked at the club and I saw someone who was headlining and they weren't really great. I don't even know. I didn't know who they were. And I looked up and they weren't really great, but they had like a couple TV credits. And I'm like, I could headline here.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just need a couple TV credits. And then, you know,
that's like, feel like the key.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes you look at someone's IMDb and you're like, wow, you've like walked onto the screen and then off of the screen on four different shows. But now you can write.
Right. Exactly.
Like was on MTV.
Yeah. I mean, I think something I'm realizing this year is, I need to be a lot better at marketing and networking and the business side of stand-up, which I have not been.
Same. I'm so, I like social media and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm so,
I know, I'm
bad about.
I'm trying to, you know, post the podcasts and TikToks and.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's just, I get really exhausted just making videos about me and making podcasts about me and doing stand-up. I'm like, I'm getting tired of my own voice, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm like,
but you have
I don't have any amazing ideas for TikToks, right? You know? And some people do. And it's like, I feel like it's almost like a different skill.
It's a completely different skill.
Yeah. It's like, if I could just like write a joke, I like that would be what I would prefer to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's really exhausting trying to make so many things revolved around yourself.
Yeah,
I guess I wish I was more of a narcissist because I was like, I had shot a podcast of just myself. And then I had to like sit there and like listen to my. I was like, I can't like, no, I don't care what I have to say.
Yeah. Oh, my God. People that do like podcasts where it's just them talking to themselves like regularly. Like I get like a lot of podcasts people do like once in a while, but it's like, I cannot imagine having to edit a bunch of podcasts just listening to yourself.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I do feel good that I don't think I'm a narcissist.
Yeah, it probably proves it.
But I'm exhausted hearing myself. But you have to be constantly making content and putting yourself out there and also being bad at it at first. Like, you're not going to get good at making stuff online until you do it.
Yeah, you know? For sure. I feel like that's like such a big hurdle to get over because I know like I've like filmed stuff and been like, oh my God, that's what I look like. Like, this is what I sound like. Oh, it's so dumb. And it's like, whatever. Everyone sounds dumb. Also, like, TikTok is dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, just roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's definitely been like a mental hurdle that but before the pandemic, I definitely was like, I'm an underground comic. Like, I'm here for the scene and for the comedy, you know?
Yeah.
And now I'm like, if I truly want to do this as a profession, I have to do things online and get some sort of fan base. Like, that's just, you have to be able to sell tickets. And the way to do that now is social media, not really TV. You know, no one cares about you being on late night.
Yeah.
Which
is such a bummer because like that would be like
my,
like it's like that's the path I want, but that's not the path that,
I know
like,
that yeah I wish we were like comics in the 80s.
Me too. Also, like, LA was so cool in the 80s. Like, I know. Overall, that would have been ideal.
I know, but now we're like making like little TikTok videos
and like
shooting podcasts in our apartments alone and yeah, but I definitely, this, I guess 2020, I was like, okay, I got to do online stuff. And now this year I'm kind of like, okay, I have to network. I have to be better about networking with people and asking for opportunities. And for a while, a big hurdle for me was, I was like, if I deserve this opportunity, they'll ask me. And that really that's not really going to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless you're really famous, but you don't get really famous until you push for opportunities.
Yeah, I feel like that, like I was lucky in that I had like a few people like ask for things for me. Like they would be like, oh, you should put her on the show.
Right, yeah.
And like, I really feel like I like coasted on that for a little bit. And it's like, okay, well that happens three times. That doesn't happen all the time. And then you got to be like, hey, I want to be on the show.
Yeah.
Put me on, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I hate asking people for things. So, like, that's the worst. But
yeah. And then you know, we produced a show before the pandemic and
the good old days.
The good old days.
And it was like a year ago too.
I know that, like, almost exactly a year ago. Mm-hmm. And and it's like that dynamic of, like, you have to have something that they want.
Like, yeah.
I'll put you on my show if you put me on your show, but you don't say that. It's kind of like,
it's like understood.
It's just like implied that's what happens. Yeah, it's all silly, but, you know, you got to do it.
For sure. And, like, whatever, small price to pay, I guess, for getting to do stand up.
Yeah, exactly. What something that I have noticed is, it is, since stand up is, it's not, I mean, anything in the entertainment industry isn't very, it's not, the lines between professionalism and, what am I saying, professionalism and, I was gonna say playtime, but
playtime, amateur hour.
Well, you know, in the entertainment industry, the professionalism is kind of lost on, you know what I'm trying to say, right?
Getting the vibe, yeah.
Like, it's hot. You know, these people are your coworkers, but at the same time, you know, you talk about inappropriate things, you go out together. There's a blend of your professional life and your private life. There we go.
Yeah, that's what for sure. And you're, like, talking about it on stage usually, so people know
exactly
more about you and, like, feel like they know you.
Yeah, and I have noticed with that dynamic, it's hard to have professional relationships with people.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. And it's like, sometimes it feels like putting your friendship at risk to, like,
right,
treat someone more like, treat them like a professional contact. Like, that's just weird to do with, like, your friends, you know?
Right. Have you had any experiences with becoming friends with comics and then it kind of, like, you know, not going well? And
I mean, I feel
I'm
like
just projecting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, an interesting,
because everyone, like, dates each other, yeah, and, like, and then everyone's like, don't date each other, and then we do, and, you know.
Yeah, and then, like, putting people on shows becomes, like, a
clicky kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's, like, at one, like, I've never produced a show alone. I've produced two different shows with, like, other friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not, like, me single-handedly deciding the lineup.
Right.
And then it's, like, trying to, like, when people who maybe think that you would put them up when they're in your first show.
Right.
You don't. And then it's, like, an awkward, like, oh, well, you know, like, it wasn't all my decision.
Right.
And I mean, also, it there's only so many spots. Like,
yeah, yeah. But it is kind of nice if you have other people to be, like, they wanted someone else.
Oh, it's so nice. It's so nice to be, like, sorry. Like, they insisted. Like, I really, like, it wasn't me at all.
I was pushing for you.
I pushed so hard. Like, I really wanted you on the show.
Yeah, and also just the dynamic with, like, producing shows with other people and, like, they're your friends, but you're also trying to be professional with them, and, like, you kind of can clash in that way.
Yeah, it's so, like, it gets it definitely gets awkward sometimes with also, like, the dynamics of the show and, like, you know, who's hosting, who's, like, when are we putting people up, when are you going up, like,
yeah.
I feel like doing it with other people though is nice, so that it's, like,
you can blame other people.
Blame other people. And also, like, when it turns out great, it's, like, fun to, like, have people to celebrate with. But I also produced two shows the beginning of March last year.
Yeah, right before
the pandemic. Before everything. So it was, like, we were, like, all right, month number two, let's start planning. And then it was, like,
just kidding.
JK, that just is kidding. Not happening
we're
at
not
all.
Not going to do stand-up for a year.
Yeah.
I know, it was such a bummer because I feel like we were finally getting, like, a stride and you know, we were producing shows, doing shows. I hope you can't hear those sirens.
Yeah, it was, like, my first week where I think I had 5 shows.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this has never happened
posting
before.
A flyer.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, like, all about it. I was on shows with people, like, I really, like, comics I really liked.
Yeah.
It was super exciting. And then I think 4 of the 5 shows happened. The last one was canceled and I didn't do stand-up for...
And then you went to Kansas City.
I moved to Kansas City for a while. And then I came back and then I left again.
Yeah.
And now I'm back.
Yeah. So during the pandemic, I guess, how were you kind of coping with, you know, stand-up being gone? And I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like at the beginning I was like just so, like, I feel like I was more bummed about like stand-up being canceled than like anything else.
Than people dying.
I was just really selfish and I only thought about myself, and I was like, man, it's really sad that I can't like be in front of 15 people who are like kind of laughing.
15 people. That is true. We're like, I just want to be in front of like 5 people. Yeah. Or like, drug addicts.
Yeah, drug addicts. Homeless people off the street. That was like a typical audience, and it was great. I missed it so bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like I really missed it. And then.
Were you writing or were you kind of taking a break?
At the beginning, I wasn't doing anything. Like, I was so lazy about it. And it was like, I didn't know when I was going to be able.
Right.
No one did, but.
I mean, it was just hard. I mean, just emotionally, you're like, we're in a global pandemic, right? Like,
yeah.
I was just very on edge the whole time. And a lot of things I just didn't find funny. I was like, this nothing is all was funny. Horrible.
Yeah, it was all bad. It was like, we didn't know when or if it was ever going to end.
Yeah.
And it was also like, I feel like there was a lot of energy being put into just like not getting corona, you know, like that was like the only thing anyone could do.
You had to drive to 5 different stores to find like hand sanitizer. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It was like you had to like wait in a line to go in the grocery store and get food.
In a bread line.
Yeah, it was like there's not a lot of time for
writing
funny jokes.
I mean, I definitely, when the pandemic hit, I wasn't doing any sort of writing or putting any focus on comedy. And I think it helped me a lot because I think right before the pandemic, I was doing so many mics and shows and I was just so like serious and like, this is comedy serious. And it stopped being fun and playful. And I kind of, I don't know, I felt like I kind of needed a break to come back to what I was working on.
Yeah, it was definitely nice. Like, it took me a long time to... like watch the videos from like those last couple shows.
Yeah.
And I finally did, and I feel like I had like a fresh, like, I wasn't quite as attached to like the way I was like the jokes or like the wording or like the ends, you know, punchlines and stuff. So it was like I could go back and be like, okay, this is what I would change.
Right.
In theory, if we were ever gonna do. Which shows, you know, now it's a year later, I'm like, I'm not sure any of my jokes are relevant, but maybe someday.
Yeah, so a break did feel nice because I just was so like, I gotta work on comedy. And and I was like, and then a little breather, come back to it with like fresh eyes.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely was nice. And then I came back to LA over the summer and did like
we did that one show.
That one show and like a couple mics. That one show was just like such a
great,
like, bright spot in like
our friend Margot Hamilton produced a show.
Shout out.
That was probably the best show I did that year.
It was so fun. It was like,
it was in a garage.
Yeah, in a garage that was literally looked like it was falling down.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to fix it, but it had not gotten there yet.
Yeah, they're doing earthquake prevention,
and it looked like an earthquake had already come through. That was really the vibe of that garage.
Yeah, but it was a really fun show, and I remember both of us were like, we like looked at each other, we're like, we got to do this more.
Yeah, and it was like
we like got that hit.
Yeah, we're like, oh my god, can we just next week?
Yeah,
and it was fun too because it was like in a garage, so it was just like on the street, and people were like walking by and would just like stop, and then like there are a fair amount of people there.
Yeah, there was a fair amount of people there. And they were just all hanging out. Like
all hanging out. All just chilling. Having a great time. Yeah. It was fun. All the everyone
then,
did well.
And then
well.
Everything shut down again.
And then everything shut down immediately after.
Yeah.
Because, and then got really bad for a while.
I know. And then we had issues.
Yeah.
Another comic is calling me. Rachel Sterling is calling me.
Does she not know you're like at work right now?
Yeah, I'm at work right now.
Yeah,
rude. I keep telling this is my new thing. If I'm doing something comedy related, like the podcast or, you know, or anything, and someone's like, oh, you want to do something, I'm like, I have work. That's what I say.
I love that.
I'm manifesting the truth.
Yeah
I'm in a meeting.
Yeah.
No, I'm recording a podcast that it's no one's
thing.
Paying
it's
me
a meeting.
For.
Yeah. We're talking. We're sitting at a table.
Yeah.
It's very professional.
You do kind of have to. A lot of comedies, like, I mean, just entertainment in general, is just really faking it till you make it.
Oh, for sure. Because especially like with Instagram and everything.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you can look like way more of a comic than you are.
I know. The other podcast that I was recording by myself, I was talking about how I think it's funny. I'm going to Austin, and you know, a lot of comics are going to Austin and doing shows, and there's mm-hmm. so many people that we know that are like on our level, like posting flyers and being like, come out to my show. And it's like, the only people that follow you on Instagram are other comics in LA.
Yeah, like, oh my god, I've seen so many people being like, come to my show in like Wisconsin, and I'm like,
no one,
who the four friends you've known since high school that follow right. you, like, who is this for?
But it is,
it's to show you're doing stuff. I get
right, it is like a power of perception, you yeah. know what I mean? Oh, and sure. you're showing like all the other comics in LA, like, look, I'm a hot commodity, like,
yeah,
yeah. So I think sure. it's silly in that way,
and it's like, no matter how shitty someone's like video that they post is or something, it's like, oh well, they're doing stuff, you
right
know?
Right, yeah. So that's another thing I'm kind of learning. I'm like, oh, perception is power, and that's so true. Yeah. Because I know comics that have been going to Austin that, you know, whatever, they're, I'm not gonna shit on them, but they're not that great, and I'm like, yeah. oh, but they get that showing themselves off, that they're doing things, and you know, they hang out with certain people. I just yeah. hate that so much. But you yeah. have to do it to an
you
extent.
Have to do it.
You have to do it to an extent, but you still have to be good at
yeah.
at it, you know?
Yeah. I feel like the tough part with like stand up this year is you just get better from doing it. Like the level of how bad I was when I first started, and like then started doing mics every day and like a bunch of mics every day. It's like, yeah, you get better, and like yeah. you can see everyone else getting better, and it's like clearly just like, you gotta keep doing
it. You just have to do it. Yeah, I always have people ask me, they'll be like, how do you do stand up well, or like, what do I need to, you know, what do I do with this joke? I'm like, you just have to do stand up like yeah. all the time. That's mm-hmm. the only secret to it.
Yeah,
is you have to do it constantly. There's no like, this is how jokes are, and there's joke structures and stuff that you yeah. kind of learn, but it's, you just have to do it all the time. That's the only way you're gonna get better.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it's like, I feel like even like when I first started going, it's like the number of times you go home and you're like, that was absolutely horrible, I bombed so bad,
I know, you're like, am I even funny? Yeah.
And it's like, then you start like, that happens once a week, and then what happens once every 2 weeks, and yeah. it's like, and then eventually you have like no soul anymore, and you can just bomb yeah. without feeling anything.
Yeah, but you bomb and you're like, well, that was shitty.
You're like, well, it was a bad room.
Pizza.
No, it's like when you go up early and you bomb, and then you're like, please let everyone else bomb.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't have to feel bad about myself.
And then they don't bomb, and you're like, I was warming up the room.
Yeah, you're like, it was, I made it better yeah, somehow yeah, yeah. by my presence.
It's like, I was warming everyone up. That's why everyone else is getting laughs.
Yeah. Everyone was on their phone.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you started doing stand up, were you, I guess, scared of bombing, or?
I mean, yeah, I feel like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I actually like took a class like in college, and I thought it was gonna be like about stand up. Like, I figured we were gonna like watch stand up. like
you're gonna watch a Netflix special.
Yeah, that was like, I don't know what I thought this class was gonna be. And then it was like, oh no, you do stand up. And I feel like after the first class, a bunch of people dropped out, and I was like, fuck it, I think I could do this, which is, yeah. I don't know why I thought that.
Everyone, you have to have that, like, stupid, like, I could do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it was like, I feel like it was a bunch of, I think the class was like 90% guys and like 3 girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so many girls dropped out, and I was like, this is such bullshit. We can be.
Yeah, we can do this.
We can do this. And then I feel like I was like competitive about it. And yeah, we did like stand up at, it was in Chicago, and we did stand up at Zany's at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super fun. And I actually like had a pretty good set, and I feel like I was like on a roll.
Was that
for
the
a
first time you did a show?
Yeah.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. awesome.
It was really fun. I feel like I got lucky at the beginning and did fine, and then didn't get really bad until later, and then like bounced back.
Well, I think at the beginning, you're just so naive, and yeah. you're kind of like, yeah, I'm hot shit. And then,
yeah, you have so much confidence.
Yeah, you have so much confidence, and then you slowly start to realize the gravity of like you in comparison to other people.
Yeah.
And then that's when you start to do poorly and, you know, start yeah. bombing. And
I feel like at the beginning, like when I was doing stand up in Chicago, everyone was like, I got told I was like Amy Schumer all the time. And it was like, I didn't talk about any of the same things she did, but I think I talked in the same
Well, I think like probably style. I think at that time she was
really famous. She was super famous. So it was like any, and I was like blonder and but it was like, I think a big part of like being successful at the beginning is you're kind of just doing things you've seen.
Right. Yeah.
And then you started doing it more and you started to be more yourself. And
yeah, definitely. Yeah. When I first started doing stand up, I was so scared. I would like sweat. I like sweat at fourth wall, and now it's like so funny that the places I was so nervous about, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh my god, Burt's used to like
be scary.
It was terrifying.
I actually when I first visited LA with my mom in high school, we stayed at this hotel, and I think it was like 16 17, and it was at the Hollywood Hotel, which there's a mic there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a mic there. And my mom and I went to the bar area and, like, watched. I think it was a show that we watched. I don't think it was a mic.
Yeah.
But we, like, watched the show, the stand-up show. And at the time, I was trying to move to L.A. to be a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we see the show, yada, yada. Fast forward years later, and I started doing stand-up. I, like, go to this hotel to do this mic. And I was like, this is where I stayed the first time I ever went to L.A.
That's kind of cool.
I was like, what the fuck, and then I was like full circle. Yeah, I was like, I never thought I'd be back in this hotel on you know, quote unquote stage.
Yeah,
doing this.
Yeah, yeah. I remember kind of before, or I had probably just started doing stand up, but like not doing it, you know, on any like real level. And I was like sitting on the Comedy Store patio with my mom, and she was like talking about like going to the Comedy Store when she was like in high school or college or something. I was like, oh, that's so cool, like this place is so old and has so much history. And then it's like, oh, like not that much after that, like I performed at the Comedy Store, which was so cool.
Right.
And it's like when you're not from here, I feel like you have so many moments like that where you're like, oh yeah, my god, I had no idea that this was like gonna be a thing I'd do someday.
You see things in movies and you're like walking on Sunset, you're like, I never thought I'd be like walking on Sunset Boulevard. Yeah. And it's not that glamorous.
No, it's like, it's kind of not at all, but it's also like cool in a cheesy, like,
yeah.
Yeah. That happens to me all the time where I'm like, wow, remember that movie I like loved?
Right. Yeah. And you're like, here I am. And now there's a homeless person shitting.
Yeah. Except for it's always like a dumb movie. It's always like Freaky Friday.
Right.
Or, like, I'm like, oh, it's definitely where they filmed that.
Yeah, definitely. So you first did stand up in a class in Chicago. Yeah,
in Chicago. And in like 2015,
something like that.
Yeah.
And then did you start out doing more stand-up in Chicago, or
I did a lot of improv back then, which I feel like improv and stand-up are now like, I didn't know at the time, they're like very separate things and people have
Chicago's
opinions.
The place to do improv.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're gonna do improv.
Yeah. And I did Second City, like, oh my god, I like lived there. I did their whole like program.
Yeah.
And then I did the conservatory and I worked there. So I like,
oh, you were, I didn't know you did so much improv.
I was a real, yeah.
I did a lot of improv when I moved here.
Really?
Yeah, at IO.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I feel like it's the easier, or not, it's not easier, it's also hard, but like,
I mean, it's a group thing.
Yeah, it takes less, like...
Yeah, it's not all
confidence.
On you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, even doing improv, I was always, like, I kind of just want to stand here and, like, say funny things.
Right, yeah.
And
not do, like, a weird, wacky voice.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All the, like, character stuff, I was, like...
I hate character stuff.
It makes
me feel so silly
and space work.
Yeah,
space I'm like,
work
are you kidding
so
me?
Stupid.
This is so dumb. We're all adults.
Yeah.
It's like you're pretending to be on a phone when every person has a phone in their pocket.
Right.
It's like, can we just use a phone?
I know, and they use a phone like it's a like a old home phone.
Yeah.
It's like no one even has those phones anymore.
It's like even my parents don't have those.
Yeah. They like flip it open or like no one has a flip phone.
You're like,
anymore.
What is that, a razor?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
why are you miming a razor phone right now?
Yeah, it's like, what year is this sketch?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did that for a long time. I probably did it for like 3 years. And then I moved out here.
What was your thought when you moved out here to do comedy stuff? Or
it was like, I knew I wanted to do like entertainment industry stuff, but I like was too scared to say I was like moving out here to do comedy,
right.
You know? Like,
yeah.
And, I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll work in like music or like,
right.
I don't know. I feel like I was trying to convince people I was going to like have a real job, you know?
Right.
Just
right.
to be like, Mom, I'm gonna do stuff. Like, I have
yeah,
a plan.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm like, totally, I can do this. But it's definitely, it was really like to do comedy and
yeah.
And then I did Groundlings here for a little bit.
How did you like
Groundlings? Fucking hard. They're so intense.
I just don't think you should be that intense about improv. It's supposed to be silly. They take the fun out of it. I know, completely. They really do. Like, they grade you. Okay.
And they're like grading you on things that don't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where it's like, how weird can you make your voice? And it's right. Like, I don't care. Like, does this matter?
Yeah.
And then you look at like the actors that come out of there and you're like, how often have they done that weird ass character voice?
Right. Right before the pandemic, I took basic at Groundlings, and the teacher, you know, the last class, you have like a conference with them to see if you pass.
Yeah. Oh my God, level. The conference.
And he was like, you're really good at improv and you're really funny, and I think everyone in the class respects you, but I don't know if you're ready for the next level.
Oh my God. I got the thing too where they were like, you're like good and like, you know, like I think
I definitely
you can
was
do
the
this.
Best in the class.
And then they were like, but you don't really have like the acting training.
Yeah, they just like make shit up to make you keep paying money.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, okay, great, awesome.
Like, I know. I was like, you literally just told me I was the best in the class, and you're like, I don't know if you should move forward.
Yeah, and it's like the person who moves forward is the person who's done it 3 times.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's just a money maker.
Yeah, for sure. I used to be so hung up on, I really wanted to get all the way through Groundlings, but then I was like,
I just realized, Second City. I just realized, yeah, I'm just not that character-y. And I'm not going to be like that. That's just not who I am. And I don't want to be on SNL anyways, so.
I would love to be on SNL, but I would rather. My thing is, the people I love on SNL are, like, comics.
Right.
Who ended
stand-ups.
Up on SNL. Yeah,
like Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. Yeah. Like, yeah, Pete Davidson. Mostly him, because I was real hot. But, yeah, like, I remember, because when I worked at Second City, Chris Redd was, like, he had been at Second City and like worked there and stuff, and it was like the year he didn't get SNL, and then he got it the next year.
And there's plenty of people who did Second City that got
tons
SNL.
Yeah, and it's like, I think it feels like the thing everyone's working towards there, and then it's like yeah but there's also like people have done other it's not like the only route you can take from
Groundlings.
Like, yeah but Groundlings,
I didn't realize you'd done so much improv.
You know, I feel like I told like one comic I had done improv once, and they just like endlessly made fun of me. And I
know,
I was like,
yeah,
no, I'm gonna tell no one.
It's kind of like, you don't really tell stand-ups that you do improv. It's kind of uncool.
Well, it's like telling them you're an actor, which I'm really like not. But it's like, I feel like stand-ups want you to only be like, you have to just be like,
I'm a stand-up.
I struggle. Yeah. I have no fun in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did improv for a long time, and I feel like half of the reason I did it for so long was because I was kind of afraid to do stand-up full force.
For sure.
I don't know what that road blockage in my mind was.
I definitely feel like it has something to do with like stand-up. It's just you out there like on your own, and it's like, I feel like they're improv, like it's kind of like you can't really fail because everyone knows you don't know what you're doing, you
right.
know. And
yeah.
in stand-up, you're supposed to look like you know what you're doing,
right? You're
but also convince people you're like just thinking
you,
of this now.
You like just said it,
yeah,
and you're like a genius.
It's like, yeah, for sure the genius thing.
Yeah,
and it's like more, just more pressure. And the the team, I feel like what I really liked about improv was like it was just fun to be on the team and like
be around people.
Yeah,
and yeah, definitely. I remember the first time I realized that, for a while I thought, stand-ups, they were coming up with stuff on the spot.
Yeah.
Stuff on the spot, and that all of their stories were true.
I feel like that one, like, a lot of people don't know that there's some, like,
most stories are just, they're true, but they're embellished, you know?
Yeah. My problem is I told a story that was true, but embellished, but I forgot to change the names. I just found out it's gonna be posted, and I'm like, okay, well,
like,
we'll see how that goes. I have to like text them and be like, I'm sorry.
It blew my mind when I found out that like those crazy stories were just I was like, oh, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, it makes so much sense. But also, like, if you aren't thinking, like, if you don't think that much about stand-up,
yeah,
It'd be very easy. I was just like,
oh my god, these people are like have crazy lives.
Yeah, oh my god, they're like insane.
Yeah. But it's not true at all. It's the most of the time they have a situation happen to them and then you kind of in your mind be like, this is what I would have done if I wasn't a pussy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's like the thing with people being like, oh, Taylor Swift's dated a million guys because she's written songs about a million guys. And it's like, yeah, but also like you can like write a joke or write a song or something about someone from like one interaction that you're like, right. Okay, well, this is where that could have gone, you know?
Right, right.
Exactly. Or like they give like, yeah.
I kind of had something like that happen recently to me. My ex-boyfriend follows me on Instagram. This is an ex from a while ago. And, I, you know, I'm starting to make more videos and stuff. And I keep posting like TikToks about... I can't even say that with a story. I'm posting like TikTok. I've been posting like TikTok story times about dating him because he just did such ridiculous things. And then he, yeah. Like, he sends me this text message. He's like, you really need to like get over it. And like... That's and I was funny. Like, I am. I'm just a comic. And like, we talk about our lives.
Yeah.
I'm not like thinking about you all the time or, you know, all the, you know, like I, you shouldn't have asked me for money and then took another girl out on a date because I'm going to talk about it because that's ridiculous.
Oh my God. Yeah. I had an ex come to a show and like, we're still friends and it was fine and everything. But I had like talked about like our breakup that had been like a while ago at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, like, sorry, I didn't know you weren't like over it.
Oh my yet. God.
And it was like,
and you're like, I am
over it. It's a bit. I wrote this like 6 months ago and it's fine.
And you're like, if we talk about our lives, stop back. Like,
yeah. I'm and not, also like, I'm how do you know it was you?
Right. Exactly. I feel
like I've legitimately dated three guys that are very, very, very similar.
Yeah.
And it's like every joke could be about any of them and they all think they're all about them.
I know. Yeah. That's how the dudes think. They're like, yeah, she's like obsessed with me.
Yeah.
Like, calm like, down. I'm not obsessed.
Calm with down. Me. I'm trying to talk about stuff over here.
Yeah. 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 That's something that I've been kind of like, something I also have to just let go of. I'm like, people are going to think things and I can't control. And that's the thing. Like if I react to him being like, no, I'm fine. You know, then it's like, I'm not
that
fine.
Looks way more like you care. Yeah, it's just like let him talk, whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, that was I was like, ugh. But I think that's gonna happen, no matter. I think it's just always gonna be happening
for sure.
We talk about our lives.
I've also done a lot of talking about people I've worked for.
Yeah,
and that I'm like, I hope they don't find out just because they would know it was them,
right?
And also, it's usually not like crazy flattering things,
right? Exactly.
That's way more of a like worry than if any of my exes are like mad about it, then be mad. I don't care. Yeah. I was also mad at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to think. So how do you kind of go about writing material?
I feel like probably like 99% of the jokes like I've actually ended up doing like regularly, it's been something I kind of thought of before Mike and then just went up and talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a really hard time like
writing. Yeah.
I'll do it after like record my set and then like write from what I've said. But I think it's hard to write like a person talks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel like I write more on stage, but then it's kind of hard to capture all of those things and keep them as material.
Like you just gotta do it a lot and like figure out how the like joke goes,
how it the movement of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes I'll just talk about something random at a mic and it's really funny and I listen to the tape and I don't really know how to translate that, and then I try to do it again and I'm like, could I just only do that in the moment? Or like, how do I keep this as material? Because it was really funny at this mic.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, that's been the challenge lately.
I feel like I do a lot of, like I'll have the general, like the gist of a joke and then listen to it and then just try and make it as short as possible.
Yeah.
Which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are really good at like telling stories and I really like struggle to like
it's hard because you do have a good setup people's yeah attention
yeah I feel like all my jokes are so short and then it would be like trying to like do a longer set and you're like all right this is everything I have
yeah, yeah. Here are the 21 liners
stuff yeah
yeah yeah I definitely have started to realize my jokes also only work if I'm kind of in a playful mindset
mm-hmm.
and my delivery is really important.
Yeah.
And I have to be on stage and like feel like I care, which yeah. is weird to say like you're on stage and you don't care, but sometimes at mics you're tired or you know, you might just be over the people there, you know, but you have to really feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can totally tell, like, even just, like, watching other people at mics, it's like, if someone's into it or not into it, it seems, like, very obvious.
Yeah.
And that, makes them way funnier if
yeah,
they
if they're,
are.
Yeah, if they're into it and they care about what they're talking, yeah, you have to yeah. care about what you're talking about. Because I have bits that work really well, but if I'm really tired and I do them, they don't work because I'm just like,
yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, you have to be like on.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I feel like you have to put, it's like, I feel like on stage, I'm not super like, I don't know. Like some people have like, are like really, really high energy and I mm-hmm. don't think I'm that, but there's definitely like a too low of energy that doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And I also feel like sometimes if I'm not super into it, I think I come off as nervous even if I'm not.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. You have to know how you seem to other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to know if you seem nervous. You have to make them feel at ease,
mm-hmm.
Which is something I'm kind of learning. But I also am realizing the more no matter what I talk about, if I care about it, people normally laugh.
Yeah, for sure.
Or even just are interested in hearing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and if people like aren't paying attention, I feel like the more that you, you know, show that you care.
Right. Yeah.
People pay attention more.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's like if you're doing like I feel like the hardest thing is when you know you have a show coming up so you want to do the material that you're going to do at the show, but you're like at a mic
mm-hmm.
and so you're doing material you've done like a million times
right
and you're trying to act like you care but also not like you care too much because it's a mic you know
right,
you
right, be, like, cool. right and like you don't want people to know that you're like doing your material
yeah exactly so you're trying to be like I just thought of this thing except I've said this 100 times so I know exactly the words
right.
I say you know
yeah.
and it's like the most awkward balance and it almost never works but
yeah I think something that I've been doing recently that's really been helping is I kind of have a running list of material that I kind of want to do,
mm-hmm.
but it's not set in stone. I just kind of start to feel out if I'm at a show, just feeling out like what the vibe is,
yeah.
which is kind of, that's a skill to be able to, because like when you're first doing stand-up, you're like, I have these jokes and I'm sticking to these and I have nothing, you know,
yeah.
but you kind of have, when you start doing it for a while, you kind of have to like, be able to adapt to what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other skill that I'm starting to kind of
definitely
try to feel out. And I always try to do a joke up top about something like the last comic said, or if the venue is kind of a weird place or
yeah,
something to kind of make it present and also to kind of show them that like, look, I'm funny in the moment, you know?
Yeah. I feel like the best is if you can get something from someone else's set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I,
but
like
it's a confidence thing.
Yeah.
You have to be confident
for sure. And you have to just say, you know, I feel like if you like are kind of like timid about it, so like
it's yeah,
it goes bad. And then the whole set is like,
yeah. And you have to make sure that you're not being like an asshole to someone else. You're trying to like be playful with. It's
yeah.
such a delicate dance but you just have to do it.
And for sure.
Hopefully it doesn't fail.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to like to judge audiences, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I have a thing that I think that if it's an all female audience, they never like me.
Right.
And now I'm like, is it just because I go in with that attitude of like,
right.
this never works well for me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Them feeding off of your energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's, it's you have to be in a good mindset to do stand up, which I think is what I think people think it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Like comics are tortured and like, you know. Yeah. But I think you have to be in a playful place, and the people who aren't, it's not fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like
they attack the audience. If the yeah. audience doesn't laugh, they're like, fuck you guys. It's like, no. Like,
also, that's the worst. It's so awkward to watch.
I know.
You know, when you're like, oh, God. Yeah, it has to be fun. Because it, like, you know, it's supposed to be fun. People are supposed to laugh. Yeah. And it's like the comics that I like respect the most are people that can like talk about like heavy things.
Yeah.
And make it funny and like make it not feel like, you know, a TED talk or like an after school special, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's keep like it that's light. Such a good skill.
Yeah. 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 It is scary to just start to do riffing at shows and stuff. It took me a really long time to start doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crowd work too. I feel like crowd work is so hard because
I know, but you just have to do it. Sometimes you get
a person in the crowd too that like just shuts you down.
I know.
And then you have to like recover from it. Yeah. And it's like, and now let me go back to my material.
Right. Yeah. But it's something like you just have to do. Like there's no, it, just yeah, as you were saying before, it. You just have to do it and see what happens, and you're going to fail.
Yeah. And like if it's bad, it's usually not that bad. Like people know.
Yeah.
Because people can also see the audience member being like non-receptive.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So do you have any, I don't know, future plans that you're kind of working towards right now since things are starting to open up?
I mean, I guess just like getting back out there. Like it's been so long. I feel like I've been like writing and it's like, what's even funny anymore? You know, like what are we talking about? Like, are we talking about the pandemic or are we just like moving on?
Right. I think people are kind of moving
on. Yeah, I think people are moving on too.
We're kind of over it.
It's funny too because like so much of my material before was about like dating or like the guy I had just been in a relationship with. Right. And now it's like,
you're like, that was a year ago. So
yeah, that was a year ago, and I've been like sitting in my house for a year, so I'm not sure if anyone wants to hear about Jersey Shore, but that's all I got.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also the stupid like internet like content, like putting stuff out there is like one of my big goals, and I hate it, but I'm also like,
I know, you just have to do
it. I gotta do it. Everyone else is doing it, and you know,
yeah,
if everyone else jumps off a bridge, you gotta jump
with
them. Yeah, you know, like not gonna get left behind.
And I always have to remind myself that no one cares about me in a good way, you know what I mean? It like literally no one cares about you.
Yeah, the no worst part does. Is I know my family's gonna be watching it, you know, and like they're like, not that they're gonna be like judging. No, they will be. My family will probably text about it, and I'll be like, yeah,
just block them.
Yeah, I know, it's like whatever, but it's like family and people from high school are the only people that I am like, this is embarrassing that they would like maybe know.
Right.
What?
It's weird because my mindset, I personally feel like everyone I went to high school with is a complete loser. Like they really are. They just like live at home for sure. And
yeah,
I don't, you know,
they all have like, real jobs.
Yeah. And I'm like, you work 9 to 5 and then you like went to the mountains over the weekend, like
yeah, amazing.
That sounds pathetic.
You have like 4 kids. Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny, it's like if I think about it, yeah, I also don't care, but then in theory I'm like, but that's so embarrassing,
right?
You know, but it's also not, and also like
yeah,
cool,
but they also do think you're cool, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have great lives, but yeah, I was thinking about that recently. People that I went to high school with and like what they're doing, because a lot of them follow me and I don't follow them.
Yeah,
whatever.
I mean, you're just like so popular. It's like kind of crazy.
I wasn't popular in high school, nor was I unpopular. Yeah, I just like was in the like middle, I just was like there.
Yeah, you know, that's how I feel too.
But a lot of people follow me from high school. I do wonder what they think.
Yeah.
Of me, of what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like that weird thing of like, it's still feeling like high school, of being like, but where do I rank now? And it's like, also, it doesn't matter. And I didn't even care that much then. But like, now I'm like,
I'm going to show them.
Yeah. I'm the famous one. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. Yeah, do you want to promote anything?
I got nothing. I'm hoping someday I'll have something to promo.
You'll probably be producing shows soon.
For sure. Yeah, we got to do one together.
Yeah, we were doing a show that we need to get back on the horse.
I feel like this week it feels like things are
finally getting back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think summer is going to be really fun.
Yeah, I think summer is going to be busy and fun and... Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to kick it.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
All the shows.
We're going to show all those people we went to high school
with. Oh, yeah.
That don't even hate us.
That don't even care what I'm doing. Be like, look at me. Yeah. Doing shows in garages across LA.
I'm living the dream right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's overwhelming, this dream.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for being on. Yeah, you want to say your Instagram or something?
Oh, yeah. It's at Courtney Siaco Comic.
Cool. I'm going to put it in the description.
Perfect.
So. Awesome. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me.